Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, will join us in about 5 minutes. So, you know, the football season right around the corner, or it's hopefully going to be right around the corner. We're into July. You know, camp should be opening up in a few weeks. The Hall of Fame game should be played in about a month, but that got wiped out.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like there's going to be any preseason games, Dave. But I am conflicted based on something I just saw on Twitter.
Okay.
So, as you know, I'm a Packers fan. And Aaron Jones, that's our stud running back. He had a breakout all-pro season last year. He was lights out.
Yep.
He is currently waiting to become a new father.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And there is a picture circulating. He's at the hospital. And there is a part of me, as a father of two who has been through this program twice, who has an immense amount of respect for this move. Immense amount of respect.
Sure.
That's the one side of me. That's the dad side of me. The other side, the Packer fan side of me, has immense concern for what this is going to basically lead to in his future and what he might be dealing with when the mother of his child realizes what's going on in the waiting room. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a picture circulating right now. He is at a hospital waiting. He brought his PlayStation 4 with him. He is sitting in the waiting room playing PlayStation 4 and not by his wife or girlfriend's side.
Apparently his girlfriend,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, it's girlfriend. Okay, so if it's, and maybe he is in the room, maybe he's in, like, the not the delivery room necessarily, although I guess it could be. And I guess he's got headphones on and he's playing PlayStation while, you know, he waits for the baby to arrive. And I can't even imagine breaching that topic. Like, months in advance. Hey, I got an idea. It's crazy. All right, let me run this by you. Sweet. I love you. I can't wait for this child to arrive. It's going to be amazing. The new Madden's out, though, right around
time
the baby's showing up. Maybe we could pack a PS4. You think that's cool? And I'll bring the headset so I could talk with my buddies, and we can play and kill time, and you can be my biggest cheerleader. Is that possible?
Like,
so I'm worried about his, like, physical being and actually making it to the season. Forget COVID. This guy's going to be dealing with a whole different beast.
Like, think about this. Like, his girlfriend is enduring apparently what is the worst physical pain you can possibly endure as a human being, is what we're told, right? I mean, we have an experience that we don't know, but I will buy that. It seems very painful. I've been in the room when a woman is in labor. My lovely wife, who gave birth to my wonderful son, and it did seem quite painful to me. And the idea that I would have just ducked out and said, honey, I gotta go grind some Fortnite, honey. I gotta drop into a Fortnite lobby, honey,
right,
on this one. I know you're in pain. I know this is tough, but it's gonna be a while, right? Like, this takes hours. I don't know if that would have gone over well in my household.
Yeah, that's why, again, like, on the one side, there's a part of me that, like, I really respect the move. It's such a disrespectful move, I think. The idea of even just, yeah, I'm gonna pack my PS4. Like, we've had our bags packed for 2 weeks, including the PS4. You know, we brought Gatorades and water and some snacks and a change of clothes and 15 different video games in my headset. You know, and there better be Wi-Fi there so I can connect with the crew. I got to get on Twitch.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, crazy, like, man. I've never seen that move before, ever.
I mean, maybe. Now, we're being told she's in labor. Maybe she's not quite in labor yet. Maybe there is some reason why he feels like he's got a window here.
Dude, if you bring a PlayStation to the hospital, like, there have been labors, as we've all heard, and we've all known, that they can go on for days.
Yeah.
It can be a 36-hour labor process. And that's extensive. And I did not go through that with my two kids. My oldest was very quick when we got to the hospital. My youngest, we were there for, I think, 5 hours about before she arrived.
Very civilized.
Very civilized. Everything was all good. Everyone was healthy and happy. I don't even know if I had my phone in the room. You know, and if I did, I wasn't looking at it. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm programmed here. I got to be ready. What do we need? What are we doing? What's up? Because I know what she's going through.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you go to the classes, you take the classes,
yeah.
They tell you got to be supportive, you got to hold the hand, you got to help the breathing. I mean, there's a process involved.
Yep.
Is
not
there
Aaron
not?
Jones. That's my understanding. And this is what's going to happen, because I know the way social media works. I'm going to hear it from all these clowns who don't have kids and haven't been through it. They're going to say, you're soft.
Right.
You know, who cares, Hayes? Man up. You should have brought your PlayStation. Yeah, okay, dude. Wait till you get there. All right? Wait till you get there and you figure it out. But
like, seriously, like, you know how it is. Like, there's many days in your life, Hayes, that you could get away with this with your wife, right? Like, there are many days where you could probably duck away for a few hours and play some video games, and she's never going to say a word. But you don't do it on this day.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like,
this is a day she might remember. You know what I'm saying?
I just picture the conversation with the kid 20 years down the road. Like, Dad, were you nervous? Like, yeah, I was. I had a top score going like, right before you showed up. Like, I was freaking out, man.
Exactly.
You know, and the Wi-Fi started going wonky. I thought I was going to lose the connection. So, yeah, I was nervous.
I was about to win my Fortnite drop-in, son.
Exactly. Like,
I hadn't won in weeks.
Yeah, you better recognize the pressure that was on for me. You know, and what I was willing to sacrifice, because, you know, the Wi-Fi, again, a bit shoddy.
Yeah, seriously.
So, you know, I was making sacrifices before you even showed up playing PlayStation.
Yeah, that hospital Wi-Fi is terrible, son.
Unbelievable. So Aaron Jones playing PlayStation 4, waiting for the arrival of his child.
And possibly his divorce. Or the end of the road.
I mean, I guess we'll find out. We'll see if he's there, if he's at Lambeau in a few weeks. Anyway, Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, will join us here in just a moment. And we were going over our three things that have to happen for the Blue Jays. And we mentioned Nate Pearson's got to be lights out. The Red Sox and or the Tampa Bay Rays have to falter a little bit or not be lights out. And we looked at the kids. I looked specifically at Vladdy. You looked at the Tupac, Bichette, and Vladdy as a pair. But I think every Blue Jay fan looks at it the same way. I would guess in L.A. they're probably having the same conversation with the Angels, and at the top of the list, it's Mike Trout's actually got to be there.
That's the thing.
Mike Trout's got to be playing for the Angels to have a shot, and he is going to play, but he did admit, you know, he feels a little bit uneasy with what's going on here, and he's got a kid on the way. Maybe he's got a Fortnite game plan as well that he's got to make sure that he plays during labor. But to chat about that, amongst other things going on around baseball, we're joined now by our TSN baseball analyst. Here's Steve Phillips. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. Just put my controller down, playing a little Fortnite here,
you.
And I figured I'd jump on the show with you.
Yeah, very professional and mature of you. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate the sacrifice. We know that it is one. What did you make of Mike Trout's comments today, which I think some of the clickbait titles that I saw online were obviously misleading because he's there. He's playing. Like, he's working out with his team. But he did say he's a little bit, you know, uneasy with the way things are playing out. And he's got a pregnant wife at home. Is he the one guy in the league? They're like, you got to get this guy going, man. Because if Trout feels uneasy and if Trout were to walk away for whatever reason, what kind of ripple effect would that have on baseball and their plan?
Yeah, I think that, like, if he decides to walk away, you know, there's a reason. It's not a guy who's just afraid of coronavirus, but, you know, his wife's pregnant with their first child. She's due in August. And, you know, his concern is that he can contract the virus, be asymptomatic, but not able to be there for the delivery of his child. And so, I think he's just worried about, you know, being able to be there for it. And it's an understandable concern. Completely get it. And even if he chose to walk away, I wouldn't look at it and think, oh, you know, baseball made the wrong decision. He's got, you know, if not for his wife being pregnant, he wouldn't even think about not playing. And so, you know, it's a special circumstance. And you know, he's got an at-risk partner that he's living with. And so, you know, he would be able to opt out and still get paid and still get service time, you know, if he decided because of the fact that his wife is pregnant. So, you know, I think that you know, obviously nobody wants him to walk away. And the key is going to be that everybody follows the protocols, that they do everything they can to protect one another. They do it when they're away from the ballpark. Then, you know, hopefully the layers of protections and testing and support that they have in place when you're at the ballpark will keep everybody healthy as well. Even if somebody shows up and they have contracted it, they put them in isolation, they keep them away from everyone else, and hope that they can stem the tide on anything really spreading within a clubhouse.
Yeah, fair enough, Steve. Hey, the story that caught my eye this week that I was interested in your take on as a guy who's run a Major League Baseball club was the one about Eric Cressy, who is the Yankees director of player health and an arm expert. He's a guy who works with pitchers he started out in Boston, now in Florida. He ran sort of a sandlot game during the labor back and forth between the owners and the players down in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I don't know if you saw the story, but it had an incredible cast of players. He had Verlander there. Max Scherzer was there. Corey Kluber was there. Paul Goldschmidt. Giancarlo Stanton was there, and they're playing like little mini games at a high school field, apparently. If you heard one of your studs was down there at that moment, Steve, how would you have felt about that?
I guess I would have felt horribly disappointed and frustrated if it was one of my pitchers. I probably wouldn't have felt as badly if it was a position player, just because I think that, you know, I don't want somebody else making decisions about the throwing of my pitchers. You know, the position player's hitting, working out, you know, I think that that's a different story. But, you know, pitchers participating in that where, you know, you can put your arm at risk is something for me, especially if you're my high-end guy, that I would have a big problem with it. You know, you want to have controls. Now, here's the thing this year. Without there being a minor league season, the minor league players can go play independent league baseball because their contracts are suspended. They can go play minor league baseball right now, and so, or independent league baseball.
Okay.
And I would have a problem with that too. I wouldn't want my young pitchers, you know, they want to get a year of development in, but I don't want it to be where somebody's not going to protect their arm, their innings, or anything else. And so, yeah, I think that as an executive, we get very protective of the boundaries that are in place around our players participating. We want to be able to control the innings and the appearances and how much a guy throws and, you know, when, how often does he throw. And when somebody's doing it just as a pickup setting, or they're doing it, you know, where they're in a minor league setting and you don't have any control over an independent league, it gets really scary.
So how does that apply to Nate Pearson and how the Blue Jays are going to handle this with service time and trying to manipulate that, but a shortened season, he doesn't have the ability to go to Double-A or Triple-A and stay warm and continue to get action before he inevitably does get called up. We know it's happening. It's Vladdy 2.0. He's getting called up. He's going to pitch. He's on their 60-man team or 60-player pool. What do you see playing out here with Pearson, and can you make a case that they should, you know, throw away the time manipulation and the service time manipulation based on what's going on in the world today and the circumstances baseball is currently dealing with?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't throw out the service time manipulation, but the good news about that is that every day of service this year in a 60-game season is, I think, worth 2.9 days of service. You know, that it's been – so if you're on the roster for the entire season, then you're, you know, 60-game season, you're getting a full year of service time. And so each day is worth more than that. So quite honestly, he can come back and start game six of the season and will be in a position where he will have been down for the 16 days he needed to in order to not get the full year of service time. And so he can make the first start of the second time through the rotation in this one start and get get the extra year on the back end, and you get the maximized performance out of him this season. So I would manage his service time to buy the extra year, but he would he'd make every other start after that he was healthy and able to make.
You know, Steve, Hayes and I were sort of going back and forth on what we think would have to happen for the Blue Jays to make the playoffs this season. And we had three things. We said Pearson's got to, you know, come out of the gate, get out of the gate fast and be a phenom, like many expect he will be. The Red Sox have to underachieve to give the Blue Jays an opening, considering the Yankees are probably less likely to do so. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and possibly Bo Bichette have to really become the stars that they've long thought the franchise as long as thought they could become. What do you think of those, and do you add anything to that list that you think would have to happen for the Blue Jays to have the kind of success that is possible here?
Yeah, so I think those are good ones, and I think all of them completely accurate. And I'm not worried about the Red Sox. I mean, here's the thing. Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't at the Red Sox workout today because he was around somebody who has COVID-19. They literally have three starting pitchers, and if you take him out of the mix, that takes him down to two. And with 60 games and 63 days, they can't do openers twice a week and protect the bullpen on top of everything. So I think the Red Sox are not really – I don't see them as a playoff team this year. I really don't. But I think that the bullpen is going to be something that's going to be critical for the Jays. And, you know, so in front of Giles, how does that line up? And can they get some surprises where some guys become some lockdown relievers? Because to win enough games to be a playoff contender – you're going to have to go to the well a lot, and there's not a lot of off days. You're going to have to be able to have guys that get big outs in those innings, in the, you know, seventh and eighth and ninth inning, in addition to Giles. And Giles is going to have to stay healthy. So I think that's a factor for it, too. Plus, the other thing, it's a real challenge for an American League Eastern team to be a wild card is you're playing the National League East in interleague play, and they're four deep with really good teams. The Phillies, the Mets, the Braves, the Nationals are really good teams. And they're going to beat each other up in their own division. And it could be that for them, whoever wins the most in interleague play wins that National League East. But it's a really tough schedule. The Baltimore Orioles have the toughest schedule in baseball this year because they're playing everybody else in the East, and they're playing the National League East. And so for the Blue Jays, a very tough schedule, too, with the other teams in their division, plus the fact they've got to play those tough teams in the National League East.
Do you expect it to be a crapshoot? You know, like a lot of people are anticipating and projecting, like it's you throw everything out, you throw every projection out, nothing's going to make sense. Or do you think sense will be made by game 60? Like the teams that should be there are going to be there.
So I think that sense will be made on 8 out of the 10 teams probably. And then there'll be one American League, one National League team that may surprise. So Blue Jays, White Sox, American League, maybe the Padres in the National League that sort of might sort of shock the world a little bit, because it's going to be a hot team, not a good team, that makes the playoffs in a 60-game spurt. It's amazing what can happen. I mean, the team that won the World Series last year, the Washington Nationals, would not have made the playoffs, not even made the playoffs after the first 60 games last year. And so, you know, it would have completely flipped the script with everything in the postseason. So the Rangers would have been a playoff team last year after the first 60 games. The Texas Rangers would have. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. I could see the Cincinnati Reds sort of surprising in the National League a little bit. And so, yeah, I think there will be, you know, probably 8 teams that follow the script, you know, Dodgers and Yankees, and you know, I think the Astros will be there. But, Oakland is going to be really good, and I could see Oakland winning the division and putting the Astros in a position to have to fight for a wild card spot. That's quite possible.
Steve, we were talking yesterday about how likely you think it might be that somebody hits 400. You know, nobody's done it, of course, since Ted Williams. It's a famous mark in baseball history. But with a 60-game season, obviously it wouldn't be the same thing as doing it over 162, but it seems like it might be possible. I mean, how possible do you think it might be?
I think the last guy to do it is Josh Hamilton. I, if I'm not mistaken, hit 427, you know, within the last decade in a 60-game span. During a season. Now, it wasn't the first 60 games, wasn't the last 60 games. It was just 60 games during the middle of a season that he hit like 427. So I think it's possible. The LeMahieu's and Altuve's and guys like that, Jose Altuve had a 60-game period where he had 104 hits. I mean, it's just amazing, right, when you start thinking about that, 104 hits in a 60-game period. And so, I think that we may see Ichiro had 121 hits in a 60-game time frame in a season 1 year.
Insane.
Think about that. It's two
Insane.
Hits a game.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. So yeah, I think it could happen, and it would be really fun to watch, right? The rates are the ones that are sort of interesting. You know, the cumulative numbers, the quantitative numbers, home runs and those aren't going to impress us. But we could get shocked. The best 60-game ERA was Fernando Valenzuela, was .29.
Mm-hmm.
.29,
wow.
Arrieta had a .41 back in, I guess it was 16, when he had the great second half of the season, but a .29 ERA for Fernando Valenzuela during a 60-game time frame. So, yeah, I think there could be some really fun numbers that play. I think it's going to be great. Think about it this way. We're a week away from what would normally be the trade deadline. When we start playing games, everybody's tied for first. 30 teams tied for first place a week away from the trade deadline. Now, the trade deadline's moved back, obviously, to August 31st, But from the normal deadline, if we had a season where everybody was tied with a 60-game sprint, we'd be so fired up for what could happen with it. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, I'm with you on that. And especially considering what we've gone through the last 3 or 4 months. You know, if we get there and they're playing and the majority of players hold up in terms of health and we avoid any, you know, significant COVID waves, it'll be a blast and it'll be a season we'll never forget. We'll do it again soon. Always appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
There's Steve Phillips joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the website, mapletoyota.com, and their showroom is open, so you can book, and all the safety precautions are taken into account right up there next to Wonderland, or again, buy online at mapletoyota.com. So thanks again to Steve Phillips. And, I hadn't thought of the other end of it. You know, batting 400 is one thing, but an ERA,
yeah,
well
sub
under one.
Sub one ERA. Think
That's
about that.
Wild, man. Like, because you're still going to be racking up enough innings. If you've got 10 starts, you're looking at, you know, 70 innings, give or take, for a stud.
Yeah.
Like, that's to put forth 70 innings of sub one ERA. I'm not expecting that.
Well, but it would be interesting to see, right? Like, would that be the more likely scenario in an era where, you know, strikeouts are all the rage and home runs are the thing guys are trying to hit? Guys aren't trying to hit for average in the way they used to, right? Guys are, you know, it's the three outcomes. And so you wonder if maybe, you know, Altuve is probably the most likely candidate to hit 400, but there aren't a lot of guys who are going up there trying to hit for average. So maybe it is more likely that a dominant pitcher could do what Steve was pointing out there and
maybe
be sub one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that, that's going to be fun. That's where baseball, they're going to highlight numbers. They always do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it is the sport most synonymous with analytics and sabermetrics and just being hyper-focused on different numbers, and especially unique ones that don't necessarily have to mean that much. But who's going to lead the league in strikeouts?
Yeah.
You know, throwing them, but also striking out. You know, who's going to step up to the plate and strike out, you know, well over 100 times? Is that possible?
Like, exactly.
I guess it is if you're playing every day, and chances are you're not going to get any off days. If you're looking at 60 games and, you know, whatever, close to, what, 250 at-bats?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
You know, if you hit 100 strikeouts, man, oh, my God, you are struggling.
But he's right, yeah.
If you're not feeling it and you're in a slump, I mean, anything's possible.
No, you're right. But I think Steve was right. Like, you know, if this won't be a home run chase, you can't have a cumulative chase, right? You can't have a total chase. So it's got to be a rate chase. It's got to be a batting average or an ERA.
Right.
But there's nothing, like, there's something magical about that, right? Like, even though it won't be quite the same, I keep thinking back to watching that Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire documentary they did on ESPN a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it brought me back as somebody who was, you know, really into that chase for Roger Maris's 61 home run mark, and the fact that both of those guys passed it, and we all know the fallout of it, but in the moment it was a magical summer, right?
Amazing.
And baseball can do that like very few sports can, right? Like, and that's one of the things about hockey. Like, hockey, no one's it's hard to imagine anybody ever chasing Gretzky's records, right? I guess Ovi has got a chance to chase that goal record, which would be really special if he could ever get into the vicinity, right? Because hockey's had so few of those chases for kind of iconic numbers, because the game changed and Gretzky's numbers are just so astronomical.
It's not even possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, you look at Gretzky's numbers, like, you know, 50 goals in 39 games, that's not happening. 92 goals in a season. Like, there's no chance.
No. But that's why
215 points in a year. Not
exact,
happening.
215.
Yeah. Like, and it's just never, the game's not going to revert back to that.
No.
It's just not going to happen unless they move to like 3-on-3 permanently,
right,
and basically become lacrosse.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But I mean, that's to me, stuff like that, that is the stuff that really kind of makes seasons iconic.
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
Players iconic.
Yeah.
You know, it's big stuff, man.
Yeah, it's nostalgic. And you're right, baseball can do that. Like, if some guy's chasing 400, the asterisk talk will naturally come with it because there's so many talking heads and it's material, and everyone will have a take on this. Does it mean anything? Does it not? I think the majority of people will say we can't hold this up to 154 back, you know, 100 years ago, 162 in the past 50 or whatever. But if someone's hovering around 400 with 10 games to go, it'll be a massive story.
Yeah.
Massive. And it should be.
As it should be.
It'll be fun.
It'll be really good.
It'll be a fun story. It's not one that's going to be steeped in controversy, you know, even though I think a lot of us kind of knew what was going on in 98, we decided we weren't going to accept it at that point, because why would you ruin the movie?
Right.
You know, it was too much fun. And chasing an average, no one's going to suggest it's based on roids or stealing signs. There's no one's going to be in the stadium.
Maybe if it's Altuve, they might think it's
that. Actually, it's that's a good question, though.
Yeah.
If it's Altuve or Bregman,
right,
which is 100% possible based on who they are.
Yep.
And like, if I were to pick one guy, now maybe my attitude has changed towards Altuve based on this. I guess everyone has to have a bit of a different reputation. But if I were to pick one guy to hit 400, I'd probably go Altuve.
Yeah, I think, like, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done it. There's been some guys have broken down the numbers. Like, he's done it over a 60-game span, not the beginning of the season, but in the midst of a season, he's done it over 60 games.
Yeah.
in his career twice, I believe. So I think he's the only active player that's actually done it twice. So he's definitely got it in him.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, Votto's done it. Andrew McCutcheon's done it over just over a 60-game span in their careers. They've hit 400, but not from the beginning of a season. So there's guys with the talent to do it. There's no doubt.
Yeah, well, for sure. There definitely are guys that can catch a heater.
But you're right. Like with Altuve or Bregman, as you say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, they're not going to be banging garbage cans in an empty stadium with no soundtrack, with no noise in the crowd. But who's, you know,
I guess the question is, will it be celebrated the same way?
Right.
You know, if it's Altuve and it's Houston, will their ultimate penalty be because we couldn't boo them, because we didn't get that opportunity because of COVID, we're not going to give you credit for this.
Right.
You know, we're not going to talk it up. We're not going to show you love. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
Well, they've yet to get theirs, right? Like they've never
people feel cheated. They never got blood.
Exactly. There's been no opportunity for the fans to vent on this team. And there might not be an opportunity this season, depending on now they're talking about partial crowds here and there. You know, there's hope that they'll be able to get some people in these stadiums, and who knows what that will mean for the Astros. But it's going to be delayed justice somehow, right?
There
will be delayed vigilante justice against the Houston Astros legacy.
Yep, without question. Just based on what we're dealing with right now.